The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
I want to officially welcome our podcast audience, our YouTube audience as well. And we're going to get into a subject that is more of a equipping message today. We're going to kind of shift gears a little bit from a prophetic viewpoint where we do updates and whatnot, where we take news and headlines and we deal with a prophetic perspective on that. And I want to home in on to something that I believe is really prevalent today and in this hour. And that's, I want to talk about identifying scoffers in the last days, identifying scoffers in the last day. 2 Peter 3:3-7 is where we're going to be hanging out today. And we'll pull up some other scriptures in here too. So let me pull up this real quick, because I want to get you on board with the scripture that we're talking about here. 2 Peter 3:3-7. I realize you guys on podcast can't see what I'm looking at or what we're looking at here on YouTube or Facebook. So I want to encourage you, if you do have a Bible, please join along with us. I'll be reading from the New King James, whatever translation that suits you, works best for you, it's that you can understand. I want to encourage you to read along with us here. This is 2 Peter 3:3-7. The Apostle Peter mentions the word scoffer, and that's what we're homing in on today. But I want to show you the context of this and why we're dealing with this subject today. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, being that this is the second epistle of Peter, in both of which I stir your pure minds by way of reminder. I believe one translation says way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Now listen to this, verse 3, 2 Peter 3:3. Knowing this first, that scoffers, somebody say scoffers, and I'm going to talk about that word in just a second, will come in the last days. When will they come? In the last days. So listen, scoffers were around in the time that Peter wrote this epistle, but he tells you here in his epistle that as we get closer to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and what we really home in on is the last days, then we are going to see these scoffers begin to increase. All right. Now I want to just finish the rest of the scripture and we're going to dig into this. Walking, and this is all in the same context, walking according to their own lust and saying, this is going to be their main verbiage. Listen what they're always, these scoffers are saying this, quote, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. In other words, where's the return of the Lord? Where is the catching away? Where is the gathering together? Where is the rapture of the church? Why hasn't he split the eastern sky? I've heard about the coming of the Lord all my life. I've heard this for 40 years. I've heard this for 70 years. Oh, I'm tired of hearing those Christians say that Jesus is coming. They're exhausted with it. They're tired of it. And instead of not getting engaged in the conversation that they don't understand, they immediately will begin to scoff or they will mock messengers, watchmen, prophets, evangelists, pastors, or any men or women of God who are vocal or they're speaking out on the coming of the Lord. Listen to this. But listen what Peter says in verse 5. For this they willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. In other words, Peter is reminding us that this same planet that you and I coexist in was once purged by water, by a great deluge that you read about in the book of Genesis called the flood of Noah, which was the former judgment in the days of Noah. And Peter says this same earth is now being preserved until the last days, in which it will not be destroyed by a body of water, because God already made that clear, by a rainbow in which he created. Half of the rainbow is visible on earth, in which we see, but the other half of the rainbow goes before the throne room of God. It's an actual full circle. Why? Because a circle has no beginning and has no ending. It's continuous. And that describes the omnipotence, it describes the holiness of God, the greatness of God. He is, David tried to find the beginning and the end of God, but he was in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning. There is no beginning and no end. He is the beginning and the end, the first, the last, the Alpha and the Omega. No man can pinpoint the beginning of God. Come on, somebody. And he purposely made that. So Peter is reminding those who mock and scoff that they are willfully and ignorantly forgetting that the same God who created the earth, the heavens and the earth, and brought about a great flood of judgment in the first judgment, is the same God who's preserving the earth for the renovation of fire mentioned. And Peter, by the way, mentions that in his epistle. All right. And it's preserved by the same word, reserved fire until the day of judgment. Now, I want to talk about this. Again, we're talking about how to identify scoffers in the last days. I want to pull out some things, not only from the epistle of 2 Peter 3, chapter 3, but also I'm going to go to the book of Jude in here in just a minute. But I'm going to pull some stuff out of these scriptures that's going to equip you on how to identify these. And by the way, I believe that Peter is not talking so much about unbelievers. Because listen, of course unbelievers are going to scoff and mock anyone preaching the coming of the Lord. So I want you to stretch your thought, your thinking a little bit beyond that today. Because again, any unbeliever is going to mock the coming of the Lord. They're going to mock the second coming. They're going to mock anything remotely close to what's called the rapture of the church. Whether you believe in it, whether you don't. But let's just say, for argument's sake, you don't believe in the rapture, the catching, the way, the gathering together, whatever you want to call it. Let's just lay that aside, and let's go with the second advent, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, unbelievers, of course they don't believe that. Unregenerated people, those who are not born again, of course they don't believe in that. Even the Bible says a fool says there is no God. So we know that these individuals, by default, are not going to believe in the second coming. So I'm going to say here, by the understanding of this, digging deeper, that I believe Peter is talking about those in the body of Christ. Those in the body of Christ. And I'm going to pull out some stuff here. Again, not unbelievers, but those who call themselves Christians and believers who are scoffing other believers who are teaching, preaching, and warning about the second coming, or the promise of his coming, is what Peter described. By definition, the word scoffer is someone who laughs and speaks about a person or idea in a way that shows that they think the individual or that idea is stupid or silly. Let me read that again. A scoffer, by definition, is someone who laughs and speaks about, in a derogatory manner, a person or an idea in which they themselves think that that person or that idea is stupid or silly. Now, think about this in the context of the epistle that Peter wrote. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, saying, where is the promise of his coming? In other words, they will laugh to scorn watchmen who Their message is to try to get the body purified, to try to get the bride in right standing with God, to try to get their lamps filled with oil, their wicks trimmed, to get the fire back in them, to get them awake and not, and to shake them and wake them out of their slumber. We, those watchmen, those prophets, those individuals that have been risen up in this hour are being laughed at and they're being scorned at by other believers in the body of Christ who, listen to me, who they laugh and speak derogatory against the very idea that we even believe the Lord's coming back. I saw on Facebook a well-renowned individual who alleged himself as a prophet, who's been on Sid Roth, he's been on Daystar, he's been on Christian television, he's widely known. I actually got on Facebook and said that the Lord is not coming back in the next 10 years. I mean, unequivocally, dogmatically said, the Lord is not coming back in the next 10 years. And then went on further to actually ridicule anyone who actually believes that the coming of the Lord could actually take place within the next 10 years. Now, listen, whether the Lord does or does not come back in the next 10 years, that takes a lot of gut and gall to actually come out and say something like that. First of all, Jesus himself said, no man knows the day nor the hour. So for me to imply that the Lord could not come back in the next 10 years is really kind of an insult to God, saying that my wisdom surpasses his and that I know for a fact that he is not going to come back. I would never say something like that. Not only that, but it discourages everyone else who is watching for his return. Listen, if you actually believed an individual wholeheartedly that the Lord is not coming back in the next 10 years, do you know how many lukewarm Christians out there that are really not living wholeheartedly for the Lord, they're really not burning for Jesus, and they've got one foot in the world, one foot in him. If they hear a message like that, guys, do you really think it's going to make them pursue a stronger relationship with him? Do you really think it's going to help them pursue consecration and setting themselves apart for him, that they may be blameless at the coming of his coming? No, what that's going to do is going to make them be even cradled even further asleep. Now they're going to drink even more when they shouldn't be doing. Now they're going to do and partake of things that they have no business in partaking. Now they're going to go out here and fornicate. Now they're going to slip back into a comfortable, lukewarm, complacent, double lifestyle, because if they truly believe the Lord, well, brother so-and-so said that the Lord's not coming back in 10 years. It kind of reminds me of what the Lord warned about in Matthew 24, when he said, if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would have come and broken into, he would have not allowed his house to be broken into. But he says, beware lest you say he delayeth his coming. Come on, am I the only one that remembers that in Matthew 24 and in Luke chapter 21 and Mark 13? And he says, and the servant of the house begins to say he's delaying his coming. So he begins to drink and he begins to practice debauchery and abominations and he begins to beat his servants. And then the Lord returns in an hour that he didn't expect. And the Bible says he's cast out in the outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Why? Because not only was he not prepared for the coming of the Lord, but he began to teach and preach and advocate that the Lord was delaying his coming. Come on, do I got anybody out there that's still with Brother Ricky today? That's still, I always say that I'm old school because of the way I teach and preach. But I know there's a remnant out there because I see you guys on here. Come on, let the remnant say amen today. Let me dig a little bit deeper on this term scoffer. I like what one definition said, one who mocks, ridicules, or scorns the belief of another. In the Hebrew context or understanding of the word scoffer, the word translated scoffer or mocker can also mean an ambassador. Listen to this. So in essence, a scoffer is one who not only disagrees with someone's point of view, but also considers themselves an ambassador for the opposing idea. A scoffer voices their disagreement and ridicules all who stand against them and actively, listen to this, recruits others to join their side. In other words, they will begin to gather to themselves other scoffers and mockers. Oh, I'm going to preach real hard right here. In other words, they'll create Facebook groups that's all about bashing and trashing and mocking and ridiculing watchmen and those who are awake in this hour, who are preaching a message of repentance and preaching a message of prepare the way of the Lord. They will mock it. They will ridicule. They'll create blogs. They'll create websites. They'll create podcasts. And the entire premise of their context is mocking, ridiculing, and scoffing. Where is the promise of his coming? Man, wow. Now I want to show you another verse of scripture here. Because we think that a lot of people think that Peter is the only one who dealt with this, but that's not true. I want to show you the book of Jude. The book of Jude, it's only got one chapter. Jude 1, 14 and 19. Look at this, Jude 1, 14 and 19. Listen to what Jude says. These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lust. Now somebody say this right here. Walking according to their own lust. This is very important when we dig into the second part of this. Again, what are we doing? This is a this is an equipping message. We're identifying you. We're showing you the traits of scoffers and how to identify them. Jude says, grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lust. Listen, and they mouth, I'm right here in Jude 1, 14 and 19. They mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain an advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you, listen to this, there would be mockers in the last time. Now that word right there, that phrase last time can be translated as last days. So let me read that again. They told you, who? The apostles told us that there would come in the last days mockers, listen to this, who would walk according to their own ungodly lust. Now I'm going to see who's paying attention today. This is the third time that this phrase has been used. Phrase time. Third time. Let me go back. I want to show you this. All right, we're going to slow it down. And I want to highlight this to you. I want to show you this. So you guys on podcast, bear with us because we have a visual here. We're going to go back because I know you can't see this. We're going back a slide to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. And I'm giving it a second to catch up. All right, here we go. All right, look at this. Peter says in 2 Peter 3, look at this, knowing first, scoffers will come in the last days. Now look, he just said the same thing that Jude said. Listen what else he said. Walking according to their own lust. So there's the first point of reference to that. Now we're going to go back to Jude chapter 1. Okay? Jude chapter 1. You guys on podcasts, I know you don't see this. Flip over to Jude again with me. Jude 1. Remember, Peter said, these scoffers will be walking according to their own lust. Now let's go back over to Jude. Look at this. These are grumblers, complainers. What does he say? Walking according to their own lust. Now that's the second time he's made reference to this. Then we go down here and he says there will be mockers in the last time or last days who would walk according to their own ungodly lust. That's three times that this reference has been made. Walking according to their own lust. Now, how many believes that's important to pay attention to? Remember, Jesus said, again, I say unto you, and again, I say unto you. You know why he said that? In other words, he's saying, pay attention to this. So if you're taking notes, one way to identify scoffers every time, people who mock, ridicule, make light of, make fun of, and diminish the preaching, the teaching of the coming of the Lord. Scoffers. One way to identify them, Jude and Peter both said that they will be walking according to their own lust. Wow. What do you mean, Brother Ricky? Here's what I mean. Listen, let's read on here. Jude 1 says, verse 19, these, who are these? Mockers, scoffers. These are sensual persons. Somebody say sensual. What is sensual? The word sensual here is fleshly, meaning carnal. They walk according to their sensual, carnal nature. What does the Bible say? He who walks in the Spirit does not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Is that not what your Bible says? It says walk in the Spirit and don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. But watch this. Jude says these are sensual persons, or fleshly, carnal. They cause, it says it right here in your Bible, they cause divisions, not having the Spirit. So there is two ways that you can identify scoffers. Number one is they're going to be, almost every one of them is walking according to their own lust. Let me explain what I mean by that. These individuals, they don't want to hear the preaching of repentance. They don't want to preach. They don't want to hear anything about holiness or righteousness, right standing, right living, separating themselves. Come on, laying themselves down for the sake of the cross. They don't want to deny themselves. They don't want to obey the words of the Lord. They want to live their own life, live the way they've been living their lifestyle. They want to make Jesus their Savior, but they don't want to make Him their Lord, because being a Savior gets them out of hell, but making Him their Lord means He becomes Lord over their life. He becomes the master of their life. I have met so many. Listen, I am not by any means saying I am perfect, because I am not, and neither are you. But there is a difference between an individual who strives and contends to live holy and righteous before God and wants to serve Him, wants to live righteous before Him, and wants to be ready so that at the coming of the Lord, we will not be found naked, as John describes in one of his epistles in the New Testament. But there's a difference between that individual and another individual that has no desire to crucify the works of their flesh. They're going to keep going to the club. They're going to keep sleeping around. They're going to keep going to the bar. They're going to keep doing substance abuse. Oh, I know this. Well, this sounds like legalism. Listen, you call it what you want. I call it old-fashioned. I call it the Bible. I call it, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and I'll receive you unto myself and call you a son and a daughter. I know nobody preaches like this anymore. Nobody preaches like this today. But I'm telling you, the more carnal Christians that manifest themselves, they have a common trait. Those individuals attack the message of the coming of the Lord because they don't want the coming of the Lord. They don't want Jesus to come back, because they know deep down inside of them the reason why they come on. The reason why they don't want to hang around with you, the reason why they don't want to hang around with me, is because they don't want to hear preaching on holiness. They don't want to preach. They don't want to hear preaching on righteousness and right standing. They don't want to hear any preaching that tells them they're living in adultery or immorality, or they're committing an abomination, or they're doing things that the Bible calls abominable. And the Bible says, do you know not that the ungodly shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither shall, and he lists all these things that are not in gray areas. These are black and white issues that nobody preaches on today. But the reason why scoffers are increasing in this hour is because we're losing the message of the true gospel, which is, yes, Jesus Christ came. He died on the cross for you and I. He redeemed us from the curse of the law. Yes, these are true, but the Bible says, even as Jesus suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves to know that you and I are going to walk through the same trial. You don't want me to plow. I could really plow and go into Romans chapter 6. I could go into Romans chapter 7. I could go into Romans 5. I can go into Corinthians. I can go into in the epistles of Peter, both 1st and 2nd Peter. We can really plow on this. But I'm telling you, Peter and Jude both said that these individuals who will scoff the coming of the message of the coming of the Lord, he says they will be walking according to their own godly lust. You will be able to identify them. These are they call themselves believers, but you can't distinguish them any different between people in the world. They talk the same. They've got the same filthy language. They got the same filthy habits. They got the same people that they've hung around with for 20 years. And you say, well, Brother Ricky, where's the grace at? Listen, honey, grace is available for you. If you really want it, the grace is available for you to break that stronghold, break that bondage, separate yourself from those individuals and pursue a life of serving Christ. The grace is not there to enable you to continue in sin. God forbid, Romans chapter 6 says, but the grace is there to enable you, come on, to live even as he lives. But Peter and Jude said that you will be able to identify these scoffers by the lifestyle they live. Identify. And you say, well, we're not supposed to judge them wrong. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul addressed the church of Corinth, and he tells you, I wrote to you, and I'll tell you again, to if anyone calls himself a brother or a sister, or they call themselves a Christian, he said, and they continue to live a lifestyle of fornication or adultery or idolatry or drunkenness, he said, you're not to even be eating with them. And he said, I wasn't speaking of those in the world, because if I was speaking about those in the world, I'd have to go out of the world. But he says, I am dealing with those inside the church. They call themselves a brother and sister. That's what he's saying. All right, so number one trait to identify scoffers and mockers in the last days is they will be walking according to their own godly lust. Number two, listen to this. They will not have the Spirit. Listen what Jude says in 1:14 and 19. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. Not having the Spirit. Now, I believe how you don't want to, I don't know how deep you want me to go with this, but somebody says, well, you can't have the Spirit if you're not saved. So he's not dealing with saved people. Listen, and here's where I'm going to get some disagreements, and that's okay, because I've done a whole teaching on this. But when you are born again and you say yes to Christ and you are saved, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Spirit comes in you, lives in you. You are sealed until the day of redemption. But then there is what's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Two different things. This is in Acts chapter 2. Some of the individuals that was in Acts 2 and received the baptism of the Holy Spirit was also the same people that when Jesus showed himself alive after 40 days, and the Bible says he breathed on him and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Again, why is it? Because there's two different things. Number one, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. When I was born again, my spirit was renewed. The Holy Spirit of promise came in on the inside of me, sealed me with the Holy Spirit of promise to the day of redemption. But then I received the promise of the Father, which was in Acts 2, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I believe here where he says, sensual individuals or fleshly individuals who cause divisions are those not having the Spirit. I believe he's dealing with those who do not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Listen, there is, I'm going to lose a lot of you right here, and that's okay, because some of y'all is going to get this, some of y'all ain't. But there is a distinct marked difference between those who have never been baptized in the Holy Spirit and those who have. Oh, there's an endowment of power. There is a supernatural power that comes upon those. Peter is a perfect example. Peter in the New Testament, pre-crucifixion, pre-resurrection, before Jesus was resurrected, Peter believed in Jesus. Come on. The Bible says when they came to him and says, we were able to cast spirits out in your name. He says, rejoice not that you have power to cast out devils, but rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. What was he talking about? He was saying they were born again. They believed in Jesus Christ. They believed in him. They were born again. Their spirits were renewed. They were born of the Spirit. But this same Peter, listen to me, he denied Jesus three times. He cursed. Come on, he says, I blankety blank don't know the man. He cowered away. But then Peter shows up on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, receives the promise of the Father, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The same Peter that cowered away and denied him three times is the same Peter after the baptism of the Holy Ghost stood up and preached and 3,000 souls were saved on the day of Pentecost. What am I talking about? I'm talking about a distinct difference came because of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I believe with all my heart, there's a struggle that comes. There is a struggle that comes. There's a struggle that comes when we are trying to live for God the best we know how. There's a struggle with that. Everybody has a struggle. But God empowers us. He gives us a gift to help us overcome. Listen, 1 John 2:15-17, it says there's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You know how we overcome those things? Through the power of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Listen, I'm getting into a whole message that I preached before, why you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Listen, if Jesus Christ himself was baptized in the Jordan River, received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and was led 40 days and 40 nights into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, before he was led into the wilderness by the Spirit, he was first endued with power or baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now listen, if Jesus needed the baptism of the Holy Spirit to overcome the devil in the wilderness, what makes you and I think that we don't need the baptism of the Holy Ghost? The point is, don't miss it. If you're dealing, oh, this is good right here. I'm going to close with this. I don't want to keep this too long. If you're watching this and you're dealing with sensuality, you may be watching this and you say, well, brother, I love the Lord. I know I'm born again. I love the word. I love going to church. I love being around God's people, but I'm struggling in areas. I'm struggling with some type of substance addiction. I'm struggling with my mouth. I'm struggling with habits. I'm struggling with addictions. I'm struggling with whatever it is. Guys, I want to encourage you today to begin to seek the Lord. I know we're limited to what we can do here live on this broadcast, on this podcast or Facebook or YouTube. But I am going to ask, the Lord to do what I can't do and to do in the supernatural what I cannot do in the natural. Listen, I can preach the word, but it's not my responsibility, but his responsibility to follow the word with signs, wonders, and miracles. So if you're listening to this podcast today, you're watching this broadcast by YouTube or by Facebook, listen, I know this is an equipping message today. We wanted to give you some traits to identify scoffers that would come in the last days. Number one, they would be walking according to their own lust. Number two, they would be sensual individuals that would cause division, and likely they are not baptized in the Holy Ghost. Guys, I'm telling you, there is a marked difference between those who've been baptized in the Holy Ghost and those who haven't. I've even seen an attack on Christians who have never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because of ignorance or a lack of understanding of it, or they've been taught things that are just unbiblical, like it's of the devil or it's not of God, they will attack and cause divisions. Hello, are you listening to me? They will cause division and attacks against other Christians who have received this wonderful gift of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So I hope today we have helped you identify this. But I don't want to leave this broadcast today without an opportunity for you to receive this precious promise of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Why do we need this? Because this will help you overcome these things today. So if you're watching, we're going to make this real quick, because I believe the Lord can do quicker in one instant, and within 30 seconds, he can do more than I can ever do preaching for an hour to you. So if you're watching this today, you're listening to this today, the rebroadcast, the live broadcast, whatever it is, and you have never received I'm not talking about saved and born again. I'm talking about you've never received the Acts 2 baptism of the Holy Spirit experience. If that's you today, I want you, to the best of your ability, if you got to pull over to the side of the road, if you got to get alone, you got to go in the bathroom, you got to go in your office, you got to go in your living room, whatever you got to do, I want you to get alone with God and begin this. The Bible says in Jeremiah 33:3, if you'll call unto me, I will answer you, and then I will show you great and mighty things that you know not. The Bible says, if we will seek him, we will be found by him. Call unto me, and I will answer you. Jeremiah 29:12-13, come and seek me with all of your heart, and I'll be found by you. Draw near unto me, and I will draw near unto you. Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. If you, being evil and being a good father, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? All you got to do is ask. Listen, the same faith it takes to receive salvation is the same faith it takes to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Right where you're at, if you're listening or watching, if you can put your hand on your heart or lift up your hands, whatever you can do today, I want you to do that right now. And I'm going to pray a prayer of faith. And I believe that God's going to begin to touch people right here on podcast, right here on YouTube, right here on Facebook. Father, you see the hands lifted. You see the hands on the heart. You see the hungry. You see the desperate. You see the seekers today. You see the tears flowing out of people's eyes. You see the bondages, the addictions, the struggles today. Lord, those who want to break these cycles today, those that maybe they came on this today and they've been involved with and being involved in groups, and they themselves have been scoffers and mockers. So I'm asking today, Father, as they begin to pray to you, as they begin to open their mouth to you and begin to ask you for this gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I'm asking that, Lord, even now, even right now, the power of the Holy Ghost would begin to fall upon them. Lord, that you would open the heavens and release this promise that was given to us all the way back on the day of Pentecost and is still being poured out. You said, Peter stood up and he said, this is the promise in which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days, God would pour out his Spirit upon all flesh, and sons and daughters are recipients of this gift. So if you're a man, a woman, a son, or a daughter today, I want you to receive this gift. Father, I'm asking that you begin to pour out your Spirit right there on that camera, right through this camera, right through this podcast, right through YouTube, right through Facebook, right in that living room, right in that car, right in that office, right where they're at, Lord. And Lord, a baptism of fire. Lord, that they would never be the same. That, Lord, there'd be an evidence of a new tongue. There would be stammering lips and a new tongue. That it would feel like fire from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet, and that they would never be the same again, in Jesus' name. Lord, in Jesus' name, let it be so, Father. You said, Lord, if we ask, it shall be given unto us. If we seek, it shall be found. If we knock, the door shall be opened unto us. So, Father, I thank you today for those that are receiving this wonderful gift today. And, Lord, I thank you for the Holy Spirit giving me this equipping message. And I pray that it would not return void, but it will equip and establish that which is sent forth to do. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus, all God's people prayed and said amen and amen. Listen, if you receive this wonderful gift, I want you just to raise your hand. Just get to the little wave icon right here, an emoticon right here on Facebook Live. We want to congratulate you. We want to celebrate with you today. Listen, some of y'all may already have the gift, but you just got a fresh refilling today. Listen, it's not a one-time deal. It's a continual filling. It's like filling your car up in a gas tank of the car. It's not a, you don't fill your tank up one time. You fill that tank up and you drive it throughout the week, and the wear and tear and the mileage begins to dissipate the gasoline or the fuel of the tank. So that's like us. We're filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And as we walk this journey called life, and we deal with devils and we deal with circumstances and we deal with trials, it begins to drain us. It begins to take that oil out of us. And then we come before the Lord and we come before his presence and we ask him, Lord, fill me up again and fill me fresh again. So somebody, Lord, just I pray a fresh wind and a fresh fire and a fresh refilling upon those that are watching today. Then maybe this wasn't their first time, but Lord, it's the first time in a long time they've been filled with the fire of God and a fresh fire and passion and oil today in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God, Melanie. Come on. Melanie says she received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Come on. We should celebrate that today. Thank you, Lord. Come on. Let's just give the Lord a mighty hand clap and a praise today. I know this is a little different today, and some of y'all are not used to this, but this is just how we roll. You never know what you're going to get. We may do a prophecy message. We may do a teaching. We may do a equipping message. We may do something just giving you information. So we just try to be spirit-led today. So listen, we want you guys to stay plugged in with us. EndTimeHeadlines.org, EndTimeHeadlines.com, especially those that are new to the broadcast today. If this is your first time joining us again, you're going to see right here on Facebook Live and YouTube. If you're watching by podcast or listening by podcast, again, EndTimeHeadlines.org, EndTimeHeadlines.com. That's going to be our main landing page. I want you to go there, get familiar with our website. I would like you to subscribe to it. You get one digest in your inbox every day, and it's going to keep you up to date with our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. Now, we have an app, and it is free. It's available on iTunes and Google Play. You can download this app. It is free. Again, just type in End Time Headlines and you're going to see that. Just download that. That's free. You're going to see our official logo there with ETH. You're going to see that that's our official logo right there for End Time Headlines. Now, once you get that app, you're going to be able to keep up with our podcast, keep up with our YouTube channel. You're going to get all of our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. You're going to get push notifications for breaking news and alerts as they come. Again, as always, guys, all of our messages are free. Our ministry operates out of your generous contributions to this ministry. All these messages, everything we do, the app is free, the messages are free, the digest is free, the subscription base is free, everything is free. All we ask you to do is whatever the Lord puts on your heart to support this ministry, we ask you to be obedient. Some of you, it may be a one-time gift. We pray for partners. And what that means is you become a monthly partner and whatever the Lord puts on your heart. Some of you, it may be $5 a month, $10 a month, $50 a month, $100 a month, or more. Whatever the Lord puts on her. If this is your home church, you don't have a home church, we ask that you be obedient to the Spirit of the Lord and do what the Word of God says, and God will bless you for doing that. Now, if you'd like to do that, you can do that by going to our app, scrolling down, all the way down to the right, you're going to see a place where it says donate. Click on that. If you're listening and you don't have the app, you can go to the main website, EndTimeHeadlines.org, EndTimeHeadlines.com. Look on there where it says donate. Click on that. It'll bring you to an electronic page where you can give electronically. Again, a one-time gift, or you could sign up to be a partner as a monthly gift or reoccurring gift. Or You can give by check or money order, and you can make that out to, again, if you're doing by check or money order, you can do that at End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. Let me say that one more time. Check or money orders, End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So again, as always, I appreciate you guys taking the time out today to get on here to listen to this message. I hope it's equipped you. I hope it's informed you. It's been a blessing to you. Look, tomorrow I am going to try my best. We try not to make promises because, again, we're in a transitional period. Most of you guys know that by now. But there was a recent article that came out, and it talked about this is a pretty frightening thing from an all-natural perspective. But there was an article that came out, and it talked about a scenario, a real-life scenario of an asteroid hitting the ocean and causing a 400-foot tsunami. And some scientists have said that this could actually really happen. Now, we're going to talk about that on our next podcast or broadcast. And I want to show you in the Bible, where it looks like this could very well happen, and some scriptures that point to that. So you don't want to miss that. If you guys are like prophetic stuff, you don't want to miss that broadcast. So again, that's what we're going to be talking about on our next segment. And then I'm working on some messages for next week and some for segments that we're going to do next week. So again, as always, we love you guys. God bless you. Thank you for coming on here today. Lord, I pray that you bless our friends and partners today. May you bless them, keep them. May your countenance shine upon them. May your grace shine upon them. May you protect them, bless them coming in, bless them coming out. May you prosper them in all that they do, in Jesus' name. God bless you guys. We'll see you tomorrow.